Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is the 27th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled The Underdwellers, original air date October 21st, 1992. The title card is a silhouette of someone in a cloak being lit by a light coming from a sewer grate. That looks pretty cool, so I bet this is going to be an awesome episode, huh? Alright, we start off with two kids on top of a train playing chicken. The first to jump off first loses. Batman jumps on the roof of the train behind the kids and he shakes his head. Okay. I'm just going to get this off my chest here. Batman acts very weird and angry this whole episode, and it's kind of really annoying. He acts like the Adam West Batman mixed with Christian Bale Batman, meaning he acts like a corny dumby, but without any of the joy and always angry, like, to the extreme. So it just doesn't work. One of the kids sees Batman, and he jumps off the train, and there's absolutely no way that kid survived that. The other kid declares himself the winner. He sees a tunnel approaching and tries to jump off, but his leg is tangled in some wires and he's stuck. So Batman then saves him at the last minute, because that's what Batman does. But we get this gem from Batman. He says this.
You play chicken long enough, you fry.
Right. But oh man, I bet we got some sort of redemption from these kids later on. I bet they help Batman, or maybe we see that their interaction with Batman has changed their way of looking at things. They're like more responsible now. Nope, nothing. This scene is totally pointless and nothing but a time filler. We cut to downtown Gotham, where a heavy older woman is hailing a cab, when what is obviously a kid wearing a green cloak steals her purse. So she calls over a cop and tells the cop that it was a leprechaun who stole her purse. Why? Why would she tell him this? It was a kid wearing a green cape. Like, why in the blue hell would you think it was a leprechaun? So Batman runs by her for some reason and she faints. Hardy har har. The cops find the kid before Batman but almost crash into Batman. And this whole scene is so whimsy. The music even sounds like music from the Home Alone soundtrack or something. Now, for some reason, Batman thinks that there's a leprechaun loose in Gotham City. Why? This episode just makes no sense. We cut to the Batcave, where Bruce is now telling Alfred about leprechauns. Why? Why the hell does Batman think he saw a leprechaun when it was obviously a kid in green? There was nothing leprechaunish about him. Batman decides to go look for this leprechaun. So we cut to the sewers, where we see a bunch of kids farming? Can you farm in the sewers? Don't you need, like, light and fresh air? But anyways, one of the kids hits himself on the shin by accident, and he screams. Then a bell starts to ring, and all the kids gather. We see the villain of our episode, and it's some old man dressed like a pirate, complete with the eye patch and glasses over them. Even though we later see that he's not missing his eye, he's just wearing an eye patch for no reason. He calls himself the Sewer King, and he controls the kids using alligators. Yep. The Sewer King gets angry because he heard someone talking. You mean scream? That's not the same as talking. When you say I heard somebody make a noise. So he picks out a kid and he puts him in a room with lights. Ooh, scary. Sewer King commands the kids to go to the street and steal stuff for him. So we cut to the streets where a bunch of kids in green cloaks are running around pickpocketing. Batman uses his glowing red cyclop visors to see a hidden passageway in the wall. He goes inside and he finds a door marked SK and goes inside. Why the hell would you mark the door to your hidden lair? Anyways, Batman trips on sort of alarm and one kid panics and runs away. He bumps into Batman, but he gets scared and he falls into the train tracks. And Batman saves the kid and he takes him with him to the Batcave. We get a long sequence of the car driving back to the Batcave because this episode needs lots of filler. I'm going to keep mentioning that Because there's lots of scenes that have absolutely no point to him other than just to make it fill time. Batman tells Alfred to take care of the kid, and Alfred says this.
Good evening, Alfred.
Sir? Might this wee one be a leprechaun?
This Alfred is our guest. I'd like you to take care of him.
Me? But I know nothing of children.
You know nothing of children? What the hell? Dude, you raised Bruce Wayne and then you raised Dick Grayson. What the hell do you mean you know nothing about children? We cut to Sewer King eating turkey as he makes a kids watch. He notices that one of the kids is missing and he sends out the others to go look for him. Now we get about 2 minutes of quote-unquote funny sequences of Alfred not being able to take care of a kid. Ugh, God, this is horrible. The kid finds the armory in Wayne Manor and he picks up a rifle. Batman then shows up and says, "Children and gun do not mix." And you know what? Lock your damn gun room, Batman! Well, why the hell does Batman have a room full of guns anyway? Ah, this episode's irritating. He asks the kid, and you know what? His name's Frog. I don't know how we find out. His stupid name is Frog. He asks Frog for help, and they go to the sewers. Batman finds the rest of the kids, and he starts taking pictures of them. He's like, "Evidence," and just starts taking pictures of them. Batman then starts ringing the bell, and all the kids gather around him, and then Batman breaks that bell. Sewer King shows up, and he lets some alligators loose on Batman. Batman uses the bell to smack one alligator in the mouth. Then he freaking suplexes the other gator. Okay, that was awesome. Batman just suplexed the freaking alligator. Some more gators show up. And then Batman grabs one of the gators by the jaws. He forces it open until it snaps, killing the freaking gator. Holy hell, that was cool. Then Sewer King holds one of the kids hostage and says that he's going to feed them to the gators. But that one kid, Frog or whatever his name was, swings from a rope and he saves that other kid by swinging to another balcony. Then he gives Batman a thumbs up and Batman's like, "Oh yeah!" Sewer King runs away and Batman chases after him. Batman falls into a hole and he saves himself by grabbing onto some pipes before falling into an alligator pit below. Sewer King talks some crap and then Batman talks some crap and it's all very annoying. Batman kicks Sewer King into the alligator pit, and Sewer King seems to be eaten by them. Batman then says, "A gruesome end to a gruesome man." Why the hell is Batman talking to himself so much in this episode? He seriously does. Every time he sees something, when he notices the hidden panel on the wall, he's like, "Yes, I knew it." Then when he sees the door and it's locked, he's like, "Oh, it's padlocked. I'm going to need to weld it open." Like, why is he talking to himself so much? So, Sewer King survived because his alligators are his pets, so they're not going to eat him. Sewer King runs away again, and Batman chases after him. But before he does, he turns around, looks at the alligator, and says, "Later." Get it? Huh? Huh? Later to the alligator? Huh? Get it? It's a joke. Sewer King closes his SK marked door, and Batman blows it up. And then Sewer King is like really shocked to see that Batman was the one who blew it up for some reason. Even though the last time Sewer King saw him was like less than a minute ago and Batman was completely healthy and in no danger whatsoever. So Batman tackles Sewer King and they both fall into the train tracks. The train approaches, but Batman saves them both. And then Sewer King asks Batman why, and Batman says this.
Why? Why? Why?
I don't pass sentence. That's for the courts. But this time, I am sorely tempted to do the job myself.
Jesus, why the hell does this nobody of a villain make him so angry? Cripes on Friday, I don't think he's even ever talked that way to Joker. Jeez. So the kids are rescued from the sewer, and Frog looks at the sun and says, "The light!" Yeah, you know what, whatever, I'm done. The end. Alright, we got some after show notes here. A new animation studio for the series, Studio Junio Inc., was in charge of the animation for this episode. And it's actually really, really good animation. It's too bad that it was wasted on such a dumb episode. The style of the characters and the colors are very reminiscent of the anime Akira. That's like about the only positive I can say about this. It's such a just a dumb episode, seriously. Batman. All right, for the But Batman segment, I think I already mentioned how bad this episode is, so I won't waste your time by talking about it some more. Instead, since Batman saw Leprechauns, I also saw Leprechauns, and I'm going to give you a quick review of the series of horror movies, Leprechaun. I'm a big fan of horror movies, and the Leprechaun series has always held a soft spot for me. They are dumb, but they never try to be anything else than the schlock they know they are. So here's a quick rundown of all of them. Leprechaun, 1993. This is probably the best movie in the series. The movie knows it's dumb, and it plays up the comedy, while still maintaining the horror look and feel. And it's also Jennifer Aniston's first big movie role, so if you're a fan of hers, I think you'll enjoy this movie. Leprechaun 2, 1994. A sequel nobody asked for. This still kind of maintains the horror feel of the first, but they play up the comedy more. And I believe this is the last time that this franchise took itself seriously. Because after this, it gets really campy, but it gets really fun. Leprechaun 3, 1995. Leprechaun Loose in Las Vegas is a hilariously awesome, stupid, campy, gross-out horror movie. Okay, there's a scene where a woman wants to look young, so using his magic powers, he makes her lips and butt and breast grow enormous until they explode. And also, there's a scene with a robot with boobs. So, this movie is just a great movie to watch with friends. Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space, 1997. This is the most low-budget movie in the series. Leprechaun is now in space, and it is never explained why. The sets are more fake-looking than anything you've ever seen. I mean, seriously, the Power Rangers had more convincing space sets than this movie. Now, this is true B-movie schlock, but it is just so much fun. I really recommend watching this with friends or even by yourself one night, and I guarantee you will not be bored by this. You'll be in tears with laughter. Leprechaun in the Hood came out in the year 2000. This movie brings the Leprechaun to Compton, California for some reason. So if you ever wanted to watch Ice-T, yes, that Ice-T, not Kermit the Frog drinking Ice-T, but Ice-T the rapper, mix it up with the Leprechaun or have the Leprechaun talk about pimping hoes and smoking dope, this is your movie. Once again, this is more comedy than horror, but it's totally worth your time. At the very least, stay for the Leprechaun rap at the end. Lep in the Hood, come to do no good. Leprechaun, Back to the Hood, 2003. Now, I was actually really, really surprised at how much I liked this movie. Because while still crass and comedic, it actually brings the series back to its horror roots. And I think it actually works very well. So if you're a fan of the first two films, I really recommend giving this one a try. And lastly, we have Leprechaun Origins, 2014. The gritty Leprechaun reboot nobody asked for. This movie is horrible. It is the worst thing a horror movie can be, and that is boring. While all the other movies I mentioned can give you an evening with some laughter and jump scares, I can't say the same for this one. It is the most generic monster movie ever made. Because first of all, Warwick Davis is no longer the Leprechaun. He was recast with Hornswoggle from WWE fame. And if you want to take a look at it thinking, oh, I'm going to see Hornswoggle running around acting like a goof. Nope. Hornswoggle was put in a generic monster costume that looks nothing like a Leprechaun. It looks more like a yellow pumpkin head mixed with a xenomorph. And I don't know why they cast Hornswoggle in this. You can't even tell it's him in that costume. It could have been just any stuntman in there. And it's just a really, really bad movie. Just stay away from this one.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Alright, time for the Batcave Archives. So, where will I rank this episode? This episode is bad. It is so bad. So, this is really going on the bottom of the list. We got at the bottom of the list, Prophecy of Doom, which was the one with the fake sidekick. I don't think it's that bad, but it is bad. I have The Forgotten at number 25, which is the episode with the homeless people. I think this episode is much worse than that. So, at our new number 25, I'm sorry, number 26, that's where I'm placing The Underdwellers. Because this episode is just dumb. I kind of get what they were going for. They were trying to do like a Dickens story, Batman mixed into a Dickens type story. It just doesn't work. The villain is lame. The story's dumb. Even Batman, the way he acts, talks to himself, and it's just not good. It's not a good episode. So once again, at number 26, second to last on our Batcave archive list, The Underdwellers. Now, remember, if you want to see the full list, go to our Facebook page, join the group, I'm Batman the Podcast. I update this each and every week. You can see the entire list there. Also, leave comments and jokes or anything, any of your thoughts you have on the Batman franchise. Not just this cartoon, but anything Batman related. Be sure to join our group. Now, before we go, I just want to mention something. This week, I attended a screening of the 1989 Batman movie. They showed it at my local theater to celebrate its release from 27 years ago. Now, honestly, I never thought that I would see this movie in a theater again, and I'm so glad that I did. I'm going to share just something kind of personal here. My father passed away in 2013 at 55 years old, and this movie is tied with one of my best memories of him, and also with one of my first memories of being a Batman fan. I was 8 years old when this movie came out. And it was only the second time I had ever been to a theater. The first time being The Land Before Time, the year previous. That's the first movie my dad ever took me to. Now, this was the first time I had ever seen my dad as excited for a movie as I was. I remember when I saw this, it was a Saturday. It was the Saturday of the big premiere. My dad called my mom from his job to tell her the time the movie was starting. Because this was pre-internet day, so if you wanted to know the movie times, you had to look them up in the newspaper. My dad always took a newspaper with him to work. So he got there, he saw the movie time. He called my mom to tell her, we're going to watch the 6 o'clock movie or whatever. And to get the tickets early to make sure that we had a spot. My mom and I decided to walk to the theater and we got the tickets. Now when my dad came home from work, he got ready, we went to the theater. I remember the line being around the block for this movie. And maybe it's just my kid imagination, but that's something that sticks with me. Just seeing this enormous line all waiting to see that same movie. It's just something that pops up in my mind every time I think of like summer blockbusters or what have you. So my mom dressed me in a Batman shirt with a bat mask and a cape. I remember that's how I went dressed to see this movie. Now the theater usher or the guy who takes the tickets, I don't know what you call him. He acted like I was Batman who had shown up to the theater. And it made me feel like a superhero. I loved the movie. I remember my parents also loving the movie. And everyone coming home happy. So going to see this movie again just brought all that back to me. And I wanted to share that with you. Because that is the power of movies. And also, be nice to kids in superhero costumes. You'll never know if maybe it's something that will stick with them 27 years later. Alright everybody, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episode or the show in general, send them to Captain_Marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are Batman.
Thank you.